Unbranded Podcast, and I'm your host, Susie Dean. I'm so grateful to have you on this journey with me. And by journey, it's a journey of self-discovery, of learning about others, reigniting the passions I've long had but never had the time to dive into until now. If you're here, I'm sure you also have an interest in plant magic, living in alignment with nature, spirituality, and the magic that surrounds us that we don't see but works constantly in our lives. And I'm sure you also consider yourself a little bit woo-woo. So sit crisscross applesauce, cleanse your space, set up your diffuser with some oils that uplift you, and enjoy while we have interesting conversations with interesting people on Unbranded with Susie Dean. Hi, friends, and welcome back to another week with Unbranded with Susie Dean. Before we get into our guest today, I wanted to give you an update on my life and just check in. So today is Tuesday. It is the spring equinox. We love her, though it has been luckily feeling like spring for a while here in South Florida, but it does feel different. The sky is so blue. Everything is so green. The sun is shining. It's warm. It's just a delight. And I don't know about you guys. I've talked about this on my stories before, but I swear I can smell when the seasons are changing. Like, there's a day when I walk outside and it's not necessarily on the equinox or the solstices, but I'm just like, ah, the air is lighter. The air feels different. The sun is shining differently. Spring is here. Fall is here. Summer is here. And I felt that for spring a couple of weeks ago, and it was just truly a delight. You're listening to this on Friday. And as many of you know, on Sunday, I'm going to the Dominican Republic, which is very, very cool. I'm very, very excited. I'm going with Robbie. It is a Young Living incentive trip that I earned. So all of my essential oil besties in my community, thank you for making this a reality, because I grew up not really ever traveling anywhere. And I feel so lucky that I've already been out of the country once because of Young Living, and now it'll be twice. And I had never really been out of the country before. I'd been to Jamaica and the Bahamas, which are very close to Florida, but never felt like my friends who had studied abroad or had family in different countries and were a little bit more cultured by my age. So I feel incredibly grateful for that, and I'm very excited to see some friends, to relax, to be in the forest, and to be in just another version of the tropics. I will be missing my baby. And just like when I went to Ecuador, many of you were following me on Instagram, if you do follow me, when I went to Ecuador, which was another incentive trip, and I knew I had to go. There was no question that I was going. It was such an important trip to visit the Young Living Farm in Ecuador and learn about their farming and harvesting and distillation practices of a handful of oils and plants, including the Palo Santo trees and the Palo Santo forest, which is just beautiful and incredible. And it was a wonderful trip. But I also had a pretty hard time with leaving my son. And he was fine. We flew in my mother-in-law. Robbie was here. Like, I just missed him. And it was my first time away from him. And I knew it was important for me to go because it was important for my business. And it was important for me as an individual to, like, navigate going to a country where I'm not completely fluent in the language and have to navigate the airport where I'm not fluent in the language and they're not fluent in my language. And I survived, and it was great, and I'm a better woman because of it, and I'm a better mom because of it, and I'm just having to have that chat with myself again as I prepare to leave my sweet baby. My in-laws are flying in this week, and they will be hanging out with him, and I have full trust in them. They have 5 kids of their own. I think now they're at 15 or 16. grandkids, two great grandchildren. So they're pros. And I know this is going to be very important time away with my husband. I don't remember the last time we were alone and on a vacation and relaxing and just having fun without having the baby. Before the baby was born. So I know this will be very good for us. So send me your good and positive vibes as I head on to this trip, but also on this trip and why this podcast episode and this guest is so appropriate is because I believe it is Sunday or Monday. Monday, full moon and lunar eclipse, and then we will enter the eclipse portal until the solar eclipse 2 weeks later on the new moon. So we today have on your spiritual bestie, your hype girl, your astrologer, your tarot girl, my babe, Jeanette of Wabi Sabi Tarot. Sweet Jeanette is a tarot reader, a tarot teacher, and an astrologer. And though I am your woo-woo bestie, I am a novice at best when it comes to astrology. I don't know what it is. The information just doesn't stick for me, but I am so fascinated when other people talk to me about it. And you can thank Jeanette for the majority of the astrological information in my woo-woo bestie videos. I highly recommend following her. She will give you daily astrological forecasts, what's going on in the sky and what you can expect energy-wise, and weekly tarot readings for you. And she's not new to the pod. This is her second visit and sit down with me. She was one of my very first guests over a year ago before you even knew me as your woo-woo bestie. It was then that we became delightful friends, and it just felt natural that now that we are always giggling and sending voice messages to each other and kicking our little feet in giddiness, that I had her back on the podcast and we have another conversation for you guys. And in this episode, we're going to talk about misconceptions that I have about people from the Midwest. She is in Chicago and my husband is from Chicago, so I've got a lot of those misconceptions. Her current pregnancy, her social experiment with her daughters, and then we will get into the nitty-gritty of astrology, just the basics of your big three, your personal planets, what each of the zodiac signs represents, and what to expect for not only the upcoming eclipses, but also the larger astrological events that are going to be happening this year. So crisscross applesauce, put on your diffuser, ride in the car. However you do this, you do it. Have fun. And I hope you have the best day ever. Because I assume people that live in the Midwest just like eat, drink milk all the time. Robbie will have milk right after he eats like a bowl of pasta. Should we make this whole episode just misconceptions I have about Florida and misconceptions you have about the Midwest? I think so, because for a long time, you know, I was taking the heat from you every time you sent me a voice message about Florida drivers. And I was like, you know what? Like, that's totally fair. Like, Florida gets a bad rep. I'll take it on. But then I was like, you know, I need to give it back to Jeanette. They don't know the deal with roundabouts. And they're all freaking out.
They don't belong in this country.
Runs so smoothly. It sounds like you guys really need it.
What is wrong with a stop sign? They make sense. They're logical.
It's not fluid enough. It's stop.
Hotter.
We need more flow in the big cities. And you know what? You guys need to really work on having more diversity in your skill sets when it comes to driving. You know, if you expect Floridians to be so confident in parallel parking, which I do, you should learn how to navigate a roundabout so that you can go to different parts of the country and navigate them easily. And you know what else is freaking weird? Is Chicago doesn't have U-turns.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Tennessee does.
Not legal, but I definitely do them.
Okay, well, some states don't have U-turns, which I think is dumb.
Some states, you know, like when you have like a green light and you're turning, some states you're not supposed to go halfway out.
No, I didn't know that. Like, you could get a ticket for that.
Yeah.
Have you ever won? Yes, once. I was 18. And do you know what the keys are? Like the Florida Keys?
Like, yeah.
So we live very close to the Keys, and my family goes all the time. And my dad was going down for mini lobster season to go lobstering. Are you familiar with this activity?
No, absolutely.
Oh, okay. So ever since he's like 13 or 14 years old, you know, you dive to the bottom of the ocean and you get lobsters with your hands. And then you put them in a bag and you take them home and you eat the lobsters.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a few days that you can go out and get the lobsters. So it was mini lobster season, and I invited my friend Hannah, and we were hanging out in the Keys and we were doing our own thing while my dad was out on the boat, and we were on our way back, and I was in a hurry to see my boyfriend at the time.
Because
we were already late, and he was a college boyfriend, so I just wanted to see him and spend time with him. And so we were rushing, and I said, oh my God, I'm going 90. And Hannah said, push it, girl. And right when she said that, the sirens behind me went off and I got my first speeding ticket. Luckily, he knocked it down 11 miles per hour so that I only had to pay $210, which was kind of him. But ever since then, no.
I feel like what I should have done a lot, but I don't.
Okay.
I've never been pulled over. And honestly, like if I got pulled over, I would just like cry. I would literally just like be in tears and probably get myself even more arrested or something. I don't know.
Well, that would actually probably work to your benefit. I don't think you would be more arrested. I get very prickly and sweaty. And yeah, it's been a while, but I don't handle those situations very well. It's always that retrospect situation like, oh, I should have, you know, thrown the wink out. And like really warmed myself up compliment, but you know, it's always just a fumbling matter for me, always like the two times that it's happened. So you are here for podcast number two. Podcast number one, we didn't really know each other other than you reading my astrocartography.
Yes.
So it was a little bit awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a fine conversation, but it wasn't as natural. That's how we became friends. And now we are very good friends, I think.
Yeah.
And you've got me laughing and rolling all day. You always throw the inappropriate, socially inappropriate jokes, the non-political, non-PC jokes at me. And I love it. I need a little bit of that spice in my life because I'm very much someone that likes to walk on eggshells. So I've come to very, very much like your presence.
I would like to say that you make me laugh too. And it's hard to make me laugh. I laugh at myself most of the time.
I have tried so hard to get there. I know the very few times I've been like, you know what, Susie, that was a real zinger. I bet that made Jeanette laugh. And
yeah.
You confirmed that just made my week. That's so splendid. So, okay, you are a pregnant girl.
Very.
What are we at? 31 weeks? 30 weeks?
29.
Just fresh into the third trimester.
In dog years, it's like 5,000 though.
Are you kidding?
Bro.
Okay, so for pregnancy, what was this like last time? Where did you thrive?
Okay, so this time last time,
right.
It was the beginning of COVID lockdown.
Right. Okay.
So I don't remember because I was just like home.
Okay.
Doing nothing. But this time I'm like out doing stuff, which is kind of nice because it's making the time go by faster. But I mean, it's not terrible. I don't want to complain. Like I'm having a healthy pregnancy. I'm very grateful for it. I would just like to sleep.
Oh, you're already not sleeping.
I'm not sleeping.
Okay. But this is your second time around. I don't know if this was your experience, but I also had a very hard time sleeping, staying asleep, falling asleep. And then when the baby was here, I got so much sleep. Like, I was waking up every 2 hours, but those 2 hours, I slept hard, and it felt good. No? Not your experience?
No. Luna was up every hour for, I kid you not, the first 18 months of her life.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
It's just a personality thing?
She is an Aquarius rising, so I don't know. Maybe.
Aquarians, are they the best ones? Am I right when I say that?
I think everyone's the best one.
I know. Classic astrologer answer. The Aquarians are the visionaries.
They do things their own way, and I love that about her.
What's
I love
her sign.
She is a Gemini.
Okay.
Geminis.
Oh. How do you think that's going to go?
Oh my God, my house is never going to be quiet.
Well, we also, it's also going to be fun because the sun and the moon and the rising are going to be somewhat of a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that'll play a big part in how her Gemini shows up, correct?
Correct. And I'm also naming her in a very, I think I told you about her name, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll see what the social experiment looks like.
You're right. Yes, I remember. It's a very strong and domineering name.
She that was our deal, right? An astronaut or something.
Yes, yes, yes. And your, do we announce your first daughter's name?
We sure, yeah.
Yeah, and Luna is like flippy dippy.
Yeah.
Flowy doughy. Yeah. Is that our experiment? Okay, okay, cool.
Exactly. Yeah, Luna's going to be the artiste.
Okay.
And this one is going to be a scientist.
Very within societal expectations, very within the constructs of society.
Yeah.
So ideals of success and should.
Yeah. So I'm curious.
This will be fun. Okay. So tell me about what you do and who you are and your presence in the world and why you're here.
Ooh,
that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Well, I'm Jeanette. I'm here to change the world. Just kidding.
Yeah, I'm Jeanette.
And my passion project in this life is astrology and tarot and weaving that together, not just in the moment, but like to help people see how they can get to their full potential, if that makes sense. Like, I think that what got me very interested in astrology and tarot, and I think for a lot of people who go the spiritual route, is that they hit rock bottom and need something to show that that will not last forever. And astrology in particular for me, I'm a very quirky person.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered why, right? I've always wondered why I am the way that I am. I've always wondered why I am so different than my brother, who we were raised in the same household. We were raised with the same parents, in the same environment. And yet he is this like corporate finance bro. And I'm over here dressed like Picasso, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've always been curious about that. And I think the beautiful thing about astrology, it's a blueprint of who you are. It explains the radical, like, dope parts about you, but also helps you understand your shadow side and the things that irk you about yourself, which I love.
Well, I want to point something out because you spent that chunk of time talking much more about astrology than you did about tarot.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite?
No.
Okay.
They go together really well. And the tarot is a lot more of an intuitive, emotional experience. And the astrology, I don't want to say it's like a science, but it's a lot more, here are the dates, here's what's happening. It's a lot more firm, if that makes sense. And my brain likes to melt those two together.
Okay. So can you, how did you come to enjoy this? Astrology, how did you find astrology?
I have always been fascinated by astrology, tarot. I got my first deck when I was in second grade. And I remember,
excuse me, second?
Yeah. The wildest part, I don't remember, but my brother was like, you used to like read for me all the time.
Wow. That is very cool. That's very cool. Keep going.
And like, didn't get serious about any of it until after I had Luna. So in my Saturn return, basically, I started getting really, wow, like this explains all of these people in my life so well. And when I was a teacher, that's when I first started getting into it. And I had, so I was a special education teacher. So I had a lot of teacher's assistants that worked under me or special education assistants. And personality clashes were like always there. So I would look at their charts and be like, how do I work better with this person? And that's kind of how I started. And now we are here.
When it comes to looking at someone else's chart, because this is something that's relevant to my life too.
Yeah.
And you being able to identify how to better work with them and make the relationship more easeful, especially in a workspace environment. Can you give me an example of what that might look like? We could do you and me to make it easy.
For sure. So, for example, you might want to look at somebody's like Venus sign or their moon sign. And if you're like, how do I hype this person up, right? So your Venus is in Scorpio. Susie likes to go deep. Her love language is like, we're not here for like the small talk we hear for like, are you scared of death? How do you want to die? Yeah. That's the energy there, right? So if I wanted to deepen my relationship with you, I would think about, how do I incorporate Susie's love language? How do I communicate the way that Susie would want to communicate? Versus my Venus is in Virgo and it's all acts of service. So my husband knows that acts of service are how I feel most loved. If people do not do what they say they will do, I feel very, very disappointed. So yeah, I never knew that you could identify a love language like that, or something that would speak to someone through their, is it, you also mentioned moon. So yeah. What is the difference between Venus and moon when you're wanting to really connect with someone? I would say the moon sign is how they fill their cup up. Like, what do you do when you have a really bad day? Versus Venus is kind of just like this thing that's within you of like, this is just how I go with things. This is my love language, how I show my love. The moon sign is, how do I fill my cup when I've had a shit day? Or how do I fill my cup to make sure I don't have a shit day? Things like that.
Okay, so I might want to look at, so if I were to look at your moon, that would be helpful information for if I see that you're struggling in a work environment or in a life environment, and I could serve that to you versus your Venus. I think you mentioned the word hype up, or how could I, that's how I would deepen my relationship with you. That's how I work on our relationship.
Exactly. Yeah. So you know me well enough where you know that I am very chatty. Like, my moon sign is Gemini. I like to chat it out. Whereas yours is, Scorpio, right? So
no, it's not my moon.
Wait, your moon is not. Your moon is Libra. Sorry.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. Like, I feel like you feel the most hyped up about yourself when, like, you look cute and, like, you get yourself together. You know what I mean?
Are you just really good at, like, retaining information? Do you have books that you read? Did you just collect it over the years?
I make it up. Just kidding.
Hey, if you say anything with enough confidence, you'll get away with it.
So fun fact about me is I'm a speed reader. Like, it irritates my husband so much because we will be reading the same email or something and I'll be like, okay, are you done? He's like, literally give me a second.
Oh my God. I am Artem. I feel the same way. Robbie does something similar, but I don't think he's like speed reading. I think he's skimming. And there's a difference because you're picking up the meaning, yes, and you're picking up the nuance and the, have you always been like that?
Oh my gosh, always. And when I was like in high school, I used to pride myself on how fast I could take tests and do really well.
You're so annoying.
Like, I have fond memories of my high school freshman year social studies teacher timing me. And like, I would take 50 question tests in like 3 minutes.
Oh, Jeanette, that is really, really badass.
Yeah. So over the years, like, I've just taken a lot of information in. Like, I can I listen to my podcast like 2.5 speed. Like, I just take in information really quick. That also irritates Artem. He'll get in my car and he's like, do you want me to have anxiety?
No. Yeah. I can't do that.
What do you listen to yours at?
One. No, 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 no. I want to soak it.
We should never road trip together.
No, no. I think that would be really bad. But how have you been able to like harness, aside from astrology, that's a very useful skill. How have you been able to harness that and really capitalize on it in other aspects of your life?
I think so. I mean, I was a teacher, right?
Right.
And I switched into the tech world. And I think that my ability to take information really quickly and understand it has helped me be able to understand processes really quickly about whatever it is that needs to happen. So, for example, when I became a mom, I think I read like 80 books while I was pregnant on parenting. Like, I just absorbed
information. On parenting alone?
Yes. Like, But the negative side, Susie, I don't read fiction.
Why is that a negative? I want to hype you up for that. We are very opposite, I'm finding, in this area. But that can be, okay, well, there is a value to fiction. There is a value to nonfiction. Well, it sounds like, because my nonfiction, I don't really like reading informational books. So I oscillate between fiction and spiritual books. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you were really doing research heavy, how to books.
Yes.
Bordering academic.
Yeah, about around there. Yeah.
Did you find, I'm opposite in that I made it a point to not read any parenting books when I was pregnant and after I gave birth. I very much limited my pregnancy and birth exposure because I knew that if I knew too much, I would psych myself out. And I wanted to be much more intuitive. But you, I remember this was a benefit for you because you knew to expect postpartum, not expect, but know what postpartum psychosis was when you started exhibiting the symptoms.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were very well versed in it already.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think for me, I just like to know the facts. Like I think you are too. You're very science-based. Like you want to know the reason behind why things happen. And that's just kind of the way that my brain works. Like my undergrad degree, which I think you know everything about me, Susan. Why am I even on this podcast?
I'm so lucky.
So my undergrad degree is in exercise science and nutrition. And so I really thrive on having data. I really thrive on seeing the research. I really thrive when it comes to reading like published like work. And that's just how my brain works the best, which is interesting that I'm in this like woo-woo stuff because a lot of it is very much like you cannot explain it. You know what I mean? In certain ways.
Yes. Yes. And that is something part of, because you're totally spot on. I really like to know how things work behind the scenes because I think that gives it a lot of validity naturally. And that's why I talk a lot about like the energetics and the frequencies of essential oils or how they work with your cells, because I think when it comes to a lot of this woo-woo stuff, people look at it on the surface and it feels very traditionally woo-woo, but then the more digging that you do, you find, oh my God, wait, not only is there reasoning behind this, but this has also been practiced, some of these things, for thousands of years. And if something has lived for thousands of years, it has obviously worked or it has obviously served some sort of purpose because it's still here. And so that's why here's just like to hype you up a little bit and bring it back to astrology. I admire you because you know so much of the reasoning behind astrology and behind the planets being in certain positions and how those energies affect our energies. And you are skilled in that you are a speed reader and you take in so much information, but you also retain it and process it and integrate it very quickly. And that's something that I just have not been able to master with astrology. And that's why I just refer out all the astrology stuff to you. That's why I need to give you more credit in my woo-woo bestie videos.
Thank you. But I mean, the way that I think about this woo-woo stuff, right? Like you and I are video recording this. I have absolutely no fucking idea how this is being recorded right now, but I know it works. Do you know what I mean? Someone out there understands all of this. It's not me. I don't think it's you. But it's the same thing with energy and the work that we do. Like, maybe the people who buy oils from you don't necessarily understand the fine-tuning behind it all, but they know it works. So what? I think that there's a part of us in this world that needs to step away from, I need to know all of it, to, I'm going to accept that it works, and I'm going to leave it at that.
We don't need to overcomplicate things. And someone told me once, even if there is some level of placebo effect, the placebo still works. That's why it's the placebo effect. So if you don't fully understand the astrology, but actually weirdly it makes sense with your personality, we don't need to question it. we can leave that up to the experts like Jeanette. We can just bop around our normal lives and be like, hey, Jupiter is doing conjuncting something good. And Jeanette says they're going to have a good day to work on our to-do list and abundance is going to come through. So I'm just going to take it in stride.
That's kind of like where I'm at with all of this, you know?
Yes, we appreciate you for it. So speaking of all of these planets, can you give us first a quick rundown of the 12 zodiac signs?
Yes.
The other day I asked you, like, if you could give one adjective to each zodiac sign, what would it be? So just little snippets of each one that we could call them out by.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, so we're going to start with Aries, the first sign of the zodiac. And the way I think of Aries, it's the beginning of the year. It's very much a toddler. It has a lot of energy, but maybe not a lot of direction about where it's going with that energy, right? So Aries is really good at starting things, but sometimes doesn't understand where it's exactly going or has the energy or the desire to keep things going. So Aries energy is very catalytic. It gets stuff going, but it's also new. So it has a temper. It has this fiery energy around. Then we go into Taurus season. And so Taurus is like, okay, we were super hyped up during Aries season. We're going to calm down a little bit. We're going to stop and smell the roses. Taurus is also an earth sign. So it's very connected to our body. So during Taurus season, right, it's like spring is fully in motion, maybe coming into summer. So we're outside, we're exploring nature. And I kind of love that these signs have a lot to do with the seasons that we're actually in. Taurus is grounded, it's hardworking, it's motivated, but it also plays hard. Like Taurus is very like, I worked hard, I'm going to play hard, I deserve that energy. I love Taurus. And then we went to Gemini. Mm-hmm. And I love Gemini season. Gemini season is very social. So like it's full on summer. We are out and about doing our thing. It's hot girl season, right?
Okay. yeah.
So Gemini season is chatty. It's social. It has a lot of ideas, but kind of similar to Aries, maybe not sure where it all goes yet.
Okay.
Yes. Then we go into Cancer, and Cancer's like chilling again. So we have this like ebb and flow of the zodiac signs, and Cancer, it rules the fourth house. So it's very much this like homebody, cozy, comfy. It's the matriarch of the zodiac. So it's caring for ourselves and for other people. And then we get Leo season. So again, we're going back up in energy. And Leo season is it's owned by the sun. It's very shiny, it's loud, it's out there. It's also like hyping everyone else up. And I think that's the biggest misconception about Leos as a Leo sun, that we only care about ourselves. We don't. We want everyone to like laugh and enjoy themselves, and we're the entertainment for that. You know? Mm-hmm. And then we go back to Virgo season. So we're going back to the earth. Mm-hmm. And you know Virgo season very well. Virgo season is one of my favorites. I love when the moon is in Virgo because it's very much I'm getting stuff done. I'm productive. Virgo also rules our health and our routine. So we go to the fall and we're like, okay, how are we going to get ourselves back into like, not shape, but like, how are we going to get ourselves back into routine after having all this fun over the summer?
Yeah.
So that's Virgo energy. And then after Virgo energy, we have Libra season. And Libra season is ruled by Venus. Libra is very diplomatic. Libras really care about relationships almost to a fault where they're able to bend more than they need to for other people. So if Libra is very prominent in your chart, you might be a person who is always accommodating other people. Libra is very aesthetic. It's a vibe. It's very much like a Pinterest board, I think, of Libra. And then we go into Scorpio season and things get like spooky. And I think that Scorpio is one of the most misunderstood signs.
Okay. Because, yeah.
And I think Scorpio, everyone talks about sex.
Yeah.
That is being like moody and like brooding and like there's like that energy. But I think passion when I think Scorpio. I think of either I care about this a lot or I don't care about this at all. And they're very driven by the things that they care about. Scorpio is also ruling a lot of the taboo world. So yes, like sex and intimacy is part of that, but it's more about the passion behind it than it is just like sex. And then we go back up and we go to Sagittarius. And I love Sag season. Sag is, it's like, I'm going to take all the different routes today. Don't care where I end up, but it's going to be a good time.
Oh, yes. Wow. That's very uncomfortable energy for me.
Sagittarius.
Probably for you too. You're a Virgo rising.
Yeah. I wish I had Sag energy. I don't.
That's very cool.
Yeah. I love Sag. But Sag is like, I show up at the airport and I'm not even sure where I'm going.
Very trusting. Trusting
and down for adventure. Yes. Okay. I love that for them, but I will keep my binders and Excel sheets. Like,
yeah.
And then we go back to Scorpio season. And, or sorry, not Scorpio, Capricorn season.
Okay.
The Capricorn. And again, we go back down to this, like, ungrounded. Capricorn is very hardworking, focused on the long-term results.
Okay.
Capricorn is like, I'm going to plant this seed today, knowing it'll flourish in 10 years, and I'm comfortable and I'm okay with that. We love Capricorn. It has a lot of grit to it, I think.
I've also heard that Cancer is the matriarch and
yes.
Capricorn is the patriarch of the zodiac.
Very much so. Now we're at Aquarius season. And Aquarius is the energy of wanting to do things your own way. And Aquarius energy is very much forward thinking. People think that Aquariuses are unemotional. That's not it. But they're just thinking about, like, what is the best path forward? And they have to be a little detached sometimes to do that, right? Because when you're too in your emotions, sometimes you're not seeing things clearly. Aquarius is very much like, I'm seeing this clearly and I'm going that route.
And they're very, it sounds also innovative if they're not.
Very tech heavy, like forward thinking energy.
Okay.
So that's Aquarius.
I've heard that a association with Aquarians is a lot of them don't go to college.
That's interesting.
Have you heard this? Maybe just because of that innovative nature that they just like do it on their own. They don't need the traditional education. They find another way to do it.
I love that.
Can you see that? Does that make sense?
I've also heard of a lot of Aquarius as being like startup owners.
Yeah. They do it non-traditional.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luna's an Aquarius rising. I wonder if I'm not paying for college.
Oh my God. What a reason. It sounds like with your social experiment that you're doing, it's really fun.
Yeah.
Okay. After Aquarians,
we got Pisces. And Pisces is another one that is very misunderstood because people think that Pisces are just sitting there crying all day, and they're not. Pisces are like daydreamers. You've read or watched Harry Potter, right?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, so I think Luna Lovegood when I think Pisces. I think of like, I'm a dreamer. It's the 12th sign. It's the end of the zodiac. So it's very much, I've experienced things. I have a wisdom about myself that you might not understand because you're out of Pisces. But I understand things at a deeper level. It's very in tune with its emotions and its intuition. And it's very misunderstood because of that, because people think they're just head in the clouds when really they're reflecting and thinking about what has happened in the last 11 signs.
This explains so much why I so desperately love Pisceans, because someone also explained to me they're like the wise, the wise man or the wise elder. Yeah. And it sounds like they are, it's everything that I'm like aspiring to be when it comes to my spirituality, is like so in tune with the energetics and the intuition and like the unseen of the world that people don't fully understand because they're still so wrapped up in the physical world and the programming of the physical world that they don't know how to open their minds to that unseen, undoing idea. Was that too esoteric or did that make sense?
No, that makes complete sense because Pisces rules the 12th house, which is spirituality.
Yes. Nice. That's dope. That's funny. And that's funny because I tried to have a Pisces baby and then I miscarried, and then I had Hawthorne, which I knew was going to be a Virgo baby like me, and then he ended up, I think, I don't know if his moon or his rising is in Pisces, and then his midheaven is in Pisces as well, which I think is very cool.
I think it's really cool to look at our charts compared to like our best friend's charts and like our spouses and our kids, because you'll see so much overlap. Like how we both have Virgo energy in our big three.
Yeah.
That I think is part of why we click so well.
I've been also hearing that like when it comes to compatibility, earth and water and then fire and air go together very well. Do those make sense?
Here's my hot take on it.
Oh, so this is like a thing in the astrology world.
I don't think that there is anything that is incompatible.
Okay.
I really dislike when someone says, oh, like I can't be with that person because X, Y, or Z is in their chart, because there are definitely charts that are easier to work with together that go more fluidly. But I also think that the ones that have a little more like oomph or like tension can also be stronger relationships, because you're going to have to put more work in and you're going to have to learn a whole lot more from that person. So I really dislike when people are like, oh, this chart doesn't work well with you. I think you should look at it more of like, how can we develop that relationship? Like, how can I look at my partner's chart and give them what they need based on that versus, oh, this isn't going to be compatible.
What is Artem?
He is a Virgo sun, Libra rising, Leo moon.
So we have you guys defy. Well, I guess if you're looking at the whole chart, perhaps not, but you're a fire and he's an earth. So that would defy my theory that I've heard about.
I asked him the other day, not the other day, I asked him often, who's the funniest person you know? Because like, I know it's me. You, unfortunately.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
So wait, then he must be funny too.
Have you listened to FaceTime
friend with him? No, I had no idea you had one with him.
So I lost my voice at the Taylor Swift concert, like completely.
That's funny.
And so he just like went on for an hour.
Oh my God. So badass that he was able to just do it.
Yeah.
Pick up, hold the energy that you usually hold. Oh, I'm going to listen to it probably tomorrow when I get ready with my makeup. Sounds great. Easy way to start my
family a lot more after that.
Okay. So now that we're talking about this is a very easy segue. Can you explain our big three and our three personal planets?
Yeah.
And the reason they said that for those listening is because I put on the outline big six. And Jeanette was like, just say big three. It's not big six.
I mean, to Susie's credit, I've heard people call it that. I'm just a specific bitch.
So it's the official term, our big three and our personal planets?
Yeah. Okay. So let's dive in. So the big three are your sun, your moon, and your rising. And the thing is like you can read a bajillion astrology books. And this is one of the beautiful things about astrology, is that everyone will define these slightly different. And the same way with, I have probably had 20 birth chart readings, and every single one I have come out of it with something different. Each astrologer is, they have their style of looking at things. So the way that in my brain, the sun makes the most sense, is the sun is it shines through the day. And it's big, it's bright, it's how other people kind of see you. It might not necessarily be the truest version of how you feel about yourself, but it is how others like interpret you. So, for example, my sun is in Leo and yours is in Virgo. So people see you as a healer. People see you as this energy that has a lot of healing to it. Someone who's organized, someone who has it together. I'm a Leo. People often are mistaken and think I do not have my shit together at first glance. Because of the way that I act, right? Leos like to joke and make fun of things. And so people are very surprised when they see that I have a tab on my computer that's dedicated to my Excel sheets. Like, that's not Leo behavior. And then we have our moon. And the moon lights up as well, but it lights up at night. And I think of how we light ourselves up. And the moon is, how do we fill our emotional cup? What do we do when we have a bad day? And so, for example, I'm looking at both of our charts. Yours is in Libra. Mine is in Gemini. Libra is very aesthetic. Libra is very community-focused, friendship-focused. So you might fill your cup up by, like, chatting with, like, your closest friends, by putting on a cute outfit, by like making sure that your home feels the way that you want it to look. Mine is in Gemini. It's very chatty. It's kind of chaotic. So like when I have a bad day, I want to talk to anyone. I don't care who it is. That's the energy that I have. And I also like to have ideas. Like I like to have ideas come out of my bad days. Your moon is your emotional filler-upper. And then your rising, which I think is the most important part of your chart because it sets everything else up. Based on your rising sign is what all the other houses kind of fall into. So that's why I think it's the most important. I think of rising sign as we are all milkshakes, but you might be a strawberry milkshake and I'm vanilla or like pickle. I don't know. Whatever flavor. It's your motivation. It's like, how do you go around your day-to-day life? So I'm a Virgo rising. I'm very organized. I make a to-do list every morning. It's very much ingrained in me. You are a Capricorn rising. So we have a similar, we're both earth sign rising. Yeah. So you also are very organized, hardworking, very grounded in how you approach your day-to-day life. So those are your big three. And you'll find that, like I was saying earlier, you're attracted to people with similar big threes because things just are easier that way. Then we have your personal planets. And the reason they're called your personal planets are because they move a lot faster. So they affect you personally on a daily level. And they also change faster. So people born in August might have completely different personal planets based on how those planets are moving around. So they're not generational. Like I think you and I have like right. the same Chiron and Uranus and Neptune because we were born. You're born 94, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're born in a very similar time frame. So Venus is the planet that rules the sign of Libra. It's our femininity. It's our feminine energy. Venus rules our money, our beauty, our aesthetic. It's also our love language. So your Venus can be very much like your style as well as just like how you show.
Yes. Yes. I was listening to a podcast where someone said, once you can tap into your Venus sign and learn to dress like your Venus sign, you can exude a lot more confidence when you're in social situations or feel much more like yourself.
Yeah, for sure. So that's Venus. And I think we were talking about this earlier, but like yours is in Scorpio. You like to get deep. You're not surface level. Mine is in Virgo. It's very much acts of service, things of that nature. It's also very health oriented. So I am oftentimes just like in workout clothes, right? Like that's my MO. And then we have Mars, which if Venus is our feminine, Mars is our masculine. No matter from Mars, women are from Venus, that energy.
Right. Right. Okay.
That's amazing. Motivation. It's our, like, what are you attracted to in another person? It's our frustration and how we go about doing things. So yours is in Cancer. So you are motivated with community, which makes so much sense for you because you're very community oriented. I mean, with all that you do. And you're also attracted to people who are open about their emotions. You're very, that's you. I am in Gemini. So banter for me is super attractive. Like if you're not funny, I'm not messing with you. But yeah. And I'm also going back to like my learning style. Geminis are curious, like very, very curious. So I'm very motivated to learn like anything and everything. And then we have Mercury, which is our communication planet, basically. It's also our logic. It's our learning. Mercury rules both Gemini and Virgo. So our curiosity as well as our logic side of things. Yours is in Libra. So your communication is very balanced and diplomatic. And you're the kind of person who can kind of get along with like anyone, basically. Like you're very, you can work whatever crowd you're put into. Mm-hmm. Is the energy there. I'm not. I'm a Gemini. Mercury?
So you have so much Gemini.
I know. It's why I don't shut up ever.
True.
No, I love it. I love it.
So I'm very playful with my communication. I'm not able to like communicate seriously.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are our big three and then our personals.
The only reason earlier I said I want to return back to this is you said
the older we get, the more we identify with our sun. I once heard that your rising sign is the sign that you are aspiring to and working to be in your life.
I think the difference here for me is that our rising is like when we are living true to our rising sign, we are feeling really good about our day-to-day life, right? Mm-hmm. If I think back to my childhood, I'm a Leo sun. I did not like being in the limelight. I did not like being the center of attention. And the older I get, the more comfortable I am with that. And I think the thing with astrology is it all ties together. So like the more comfortable I am with my rising sign, the more comfortable I am with my sun sign. I really think that we should get rid of like PE, maybe not PE. Ugh, PE, because like who wants team sports? But
yeah, honestly, maybe that's my Virgo and my Capricorn. I did not like team sports because I do not want to share the wins and I don't want to share the blame. Take it all. I just want to be responsible for me.
Yeah. And like, I didn't like exercise until I realized that it isn't just like softball. Like I can do things for myself.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You love exercise. You're yoga like every day.
I think we should get rid of PE and replace it with astrology, because then if we just all understood our charts earlier, there'd be no wars.
I agree. Much more introspection is much more analysis on our personalities is needed. We would understand each other more.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That makes sense. That was a very good example of you as a child, because now I think back to me as a child, and whenever I took like quizzes, like personality quizzes in J14 or like Tiger B or whatever the fuck was what I was reading, it would ask you to describe your personality, and I would always circle spontaneous. Because I wasn't spontaneous and I very much wanted to have that energy. But I have now come to terms with the fact that I'm not as spontaneous and loosey-goosey as I want to be. I really do love knowing what to expect, having knowledge, mm-hmm. being prepared, thinking through all of the scenarios and being prepared for all. And there's so much value in that. And there's value in the spontaneity too. And I can dip some of that into my life when I want to, but you're right. I have become much more. And I think it may have also been confusing for me because my sun and my rising are so similar mm-hmm. when people describe that. Earth signs, yeah. hard work, meticulous, organized, like they feel interchangeable to me.
Yeah. I would say that the biggest difference, so your sun is in Virgo and your rising is Capricorn. The sun Virgo is also about healing and health. And things of that nature. Virgo's the healer of the zodiac. Whereas Capricorn, I think a lot more. Yeah, like it makes so much sense for you. Whereas Capricorn, yeah. I definitely do think of more of like the work ethic and like, so like we're in it for the long run kind of energy.
I'm going to align with that more. I'm glad that you brought that to my attention. The healer. I mean, after all, I am an aspiring modern medicine woman, so it makes sense. Now, also, you talked about when you were pregnant with Luna, you were beginning your Saturn return.
Yes.
What is a Saturn return?
Yes. So
the same age.
We are. Okay. So I wasn't yet in my Saturn return with her. It was okay. Around. So let me back up. Saturn return. Let's go. So Saturn is the planet of lessons. It's the teacher planet. It's not the kind preschool teacher, though. It's that... It gives college bio 101. You're going to learn. You're going to learn hard, fast energy. Okay.
Okay.
So,
like the weed out class.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So our Saturn return, we have three of them in our lifetime if we're lucky. The first, the energy begins around age 27 to 30. You might start feeling it a little earlier if you're more sensitive. We have another one around 57 to 60, which is right around what used to be retirement age, I guess. And then another one from 87 to 90. And the first one is our astrological puberty. So before then, we were children in this universe. And you'll notice that between 27 and 30, people are getting married. You might be changing career fields, which I think we both did during that period of time.
Yeah, actually.
Just a lot of things happen. You might find that you go through your spiritual awakening if that is what you're so called to. It's a change. It's a big time of change, and it feels funky and sticky while you're in the midst of it, especially if you're not understanding it. Like if you didn't know that that's happening, but you come out of it with like this clarity of, okay, this is what I do with my childhood. And now I have the next 30 years and a plan of where I'm trying to go. So if we sink into our Saturn return, the first one gives us insight into like how we want to use our adult years and our adult decades very well. The second one that happens around 57 is like, okay, I'm reflecting on my working years. Now, what do I want for my quote unquote retirement years? Or how am I going to take that energy with me into the next chapter of life? And then that third one is more so about our legacy. What are we leaving behind in this world? And how are we going on to our next step?
And for some people, the Saturn return can be very tumultuous.
Oh, yeah.
Is it so tumultuous for people? Taking out the fact that, like, whether you know what's going on or not, mm-hmm. is the Saturn return similar to eclipse season, which I want to get into? Is it like pushing you back on the path that you're supposed to be on? Is that why people find so much friction there or so much hardship during that time?
Yeah. So I think it's a big period of time where the universe is trying to get you back on the track that you are supposed to be on. Whereas prior to that, right, if we think about our college years, our high school years, we were kind of doing whatever anyone else was doing for the most part, just trying to fit in. And Saturn is telling you, no, you don't have to fit in. Do things the way that feel most correct to you. But we're people of habit. We're humans. Change is sticky. And getting to our core self is very sticky. And it's hard work. Because I don't know about you, but during mine, I lost a lot of friendships. My whole world kind of did a complete, I was going to say 360, but that's not right, 180. My identity completely changed. I was a teacher.
Yeah.
That was like so much of my identity. And I'm sure you can relate to that, right? Like you just changed your handle. You cut that tie. But my whole life was teacher, teacher, teacher. I'm in school. I've never not been in a school setting. And then I went to the corporate world and I went into the spirituality world. And now I'm like, wait a second. My identity is so much more than what I was pigeonholing myself into. And that is uncomfortable.
If someone listening is going through or feels like they're on the edges of going through their Saturn return, what are some ways that we can handle it best and embrace, take it in stride?
That's a hard question. I think that the biggest thing that you can do is journal, like just write it all out and understand that you are in a big period of change and kind of just trust the process, right? Saturn doesn't want you to fail. But it's the same way that like when you watch your baby learn to crawl or learn to walk. We don't want to watch them fall, but they have to in order to learn. And so I would just say my biggest piece of advice is allow yourself the grace that you would give to an infant or a toddler. Look at a picture of baby you and say, I'm giving you grace to grow and flourish into who you need to be right now.
Beautiful. And also, when it comes to this, like while this is a huge change and a huge period where changes are happening, we can also look back on times where there have been upheavals in our own lives, because there surely have, and how we've risen from it and learned from it and grown and redefined who we are to be better. And that can be a little bit of an inspiration, or at least a little bit of a comfort if you're sitting in the discomfort of that Saturn return and those changes.
100%. Like I think for me, my postpartum experience was so terrible for me. But retroactively, or like looking at it now, if that had never happened, I would not be talking to you. We would not be friends. I would not be reading tarot. The world is happening for us, not to us. Even when it feels like it is happening to us.
So now that we've talked about Saturn return, it sounds like what my understanding of eclipse season is very similar.
Meaning
that last eclipse season that happened in 2023, that was a shit show for me.
Yeah, well, it's going to be another one. So get buckled up.
Okay. Is it going to be the same amount of time? Like, does this happen every year? Because last year was the first time that I started paying attention really to astrology. And I know there's another one coming up. Oh, there's a lunar eclipse.
It's twice
on the full moon.
Yep.
Okay. So what the deal is and tell me how. Hair.
Okay, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's sticky. Solar eclipses and lunar eclipses, I just think of them as like supercharged full moons and new moons. Right?
Okay.
So there's just a full moon, it's letting go. On a lunar eclipse, we're just really letting go. We're really purging. It's electrified versus the solar eclipse. We're really, really manifesting. And March 25th, we're going to have our lunar eclipse or our full moon, and we're letting go. And then 2 weeks later, on April 8th, we're going to have our solar eclipse or our new moon.
Yeah. So this first eclipse, be prepared for any purging. This can also be this, and for eclipse season, this can either be a forced loss or a forced purging, or it can be a chosen purging, right?
Exactly. And here it's Aries and Libra. And Aries is the I versus Libra is the we. And that is kind of the dynamic we're playing with these upcoming eclipses of how can I be the truest version of myself while also joining in with other people and collaborating, making sure that I'm a community member. It's just like yin and yang that we're playing with Aries versus Libra energy.
So if I wanted to really take these in stride, anything that I've been maybe pondering about letting go, stopping, cutting off, or starting and creating, it could be a really good time to make those things happen during those eclipses for ultimate potency. And also probably to make those seasons easier on me.
Yeah. And what we call the time between the two eclipses, between March 25th and April 8th, is the eclipse portal. And I like to think of this as that week between Christmas and New Year's where you're not sure what day it is. You're eating whatever you find in the kitchen. We're surviving, right? We're just figuring it out until they tell us to go back to work. And that's kind of the energy. It's kind of wacky. And it's going to feel sticky and it's going to feel emotional. But just know that the mess has to be made before it can be cleaned up. It's like, when you are organizing your closet, right, you take it all out and then you're like, wait a second, I don't want to do this. We just need to sort through all of our clothes on the bed and then we can go forward.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to have to put this podcast out next week to make it relevant for everybody with the eclipses. So be ready for a quick turnaround on audio approval. So now that we have eclipse season, what else is there to look forward to for this year astrologically that we should know about?
Yes.
Any transits or big events?
So the big things, again, is that eclipse season. Don't think of it as sticky. Think of it as transformational. Okay. So from March 25th to April 8th, we're sticky because we need to be. Then we have Jupiter in Gemini, and that starts May and goes through June of 2025. And I'm excited for this because Jupiter is our planet of expansion, lock. It's a good planet. We love Jupiter. And Gemini is chatty. It's curious. So you might be getting really curious about things that you might not have been in the past. You might be opening yourself up to things, expanding in a new kind of way, which I love for us. And then the last big thing is Pluto in Aquarius, but that's a longer term transit, right? That's going on until 2044. And I think we're going to see so much change in our society. And I think we're starting to feel that, right? Like, we're like, wait, what is happening here? And does this make any sense, right? So Pluto, planet of transformation. Aquarius is about the future. And it's also very community-minded. It's about the collective versus the individual. So I think we're going to see some really significant changes in our societies, I hope, in the next, 20 years.
And hopefully some really good and comforting and productive changes.
I think so. But then again, we go back to Eclipse Portal. It's sticky in the midst, but is needed to get to our inner self. So I think we're in that sticky part now, right? And we will be. And we just have to accept that has to be there. I like to think of it as if we didn't have negative periods of time or times that didn't feel super good, we wouldn't appreciate the really good periods that we do.
Well, you know the drill already. I have 5 fun questions for you. Are you ready?
Let's go.
All right. You were an exercise science and nutrition major in college. Mm-hmm. What is the most important wellness tip that everyone should know or be doing for their health?
Move and drink a lot of water.
What is a good amount of what is like the standard water that we should be drinking?
I think that's good. Too much of us are dehydrated. You know that thing they say that like when you are thirsty, you're already dehydrated?
Yes.
Yeah. Like just drink more water. And I had a poll up on my stories the other day and I was shook by how many people drink less than 16 ounces of water a day.
Yeah, I know. I made it a goal at the end of college to try to drink 100 ounces of water a day. Mm-hmm. Someone told me once, drink half your weight in ounces, but that still feels like too little. So I was like, 100, why not? It's a nice round number.
It would. You know what sucks for me is that my husband and I are both like huge water drinkers. Like it's a little maybe excessive sometimes. Like I keep an extra 3 gallons in my car just in case I get thirsty. But when we go on like international flights, right, you can't bring as much water as you want. You have to buy it. So before every international flight, we're spending like $100 on water. Like when we went to Australia, it's a 22-hour flight. I had to buy us each 8 liters of water.
Each,
yeah. I hate being dehydrated.
I mean, I don't blame you, dude. We don't understand how good we feel
when we're hydrated.
Hydrated until we're dehydrated.
And
it affects everything.
I think the thing is like, you are going to go on the internet and people are going to say, this is the exercise you need to do to X, Y, or Z. Do what feels best for you. You are not going to continue to do it unless you love what you are doing. And so for me, yoga and Sculpt is like my jam. I lift a little bit, but you got to find what works for you. What works for your best friend is not necessarily going to work for you. You might have type 1 muscles versus type 2 muscles, and those react very differently to different exercises. So
out of your big three, which sign do you identify with the most and why?
Hard Virgo. Ooh, and Gemini. Shit, and Leo.
You have to choose.
Ooh, okay. Virgo. Definitely Virgo. And I think it's the rising because it's so much of like my day to day. If you told me post-it notes were illegal, I would cry. It would be an issue for me.
Especially you in the corporate world on your day to day, you're exposed to your Virgo much more than the average person, because I was going to say Gemini.
I think Gemini is very much like my personality at this point.
Yeah. 100%. What is something that you always have to order at a restaurant if it's on the menu?
Water.
Oh my God. Whenever I'm at a restaurant, if I see tuna tartare or some kind of tuna steak where it's rare, or if I see creme brulee, I don't need to look at the rest of the menu. I have to get those.
Okay, the thing with me is like I will go to a restaurant and just like tell the waiter to bring me whatever.
Oh, I do that sometimes. Do you do the thing where you're just like, bring me your favorite thing, don't tell me what it is, I want it to be a surprise?
Yeah.
I love Lenny like that. That's where I bring a little bit of my spontaneous spice.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay. What is your favorite thing to buy at Trader Joe's?
Ooh. My favorite thing, or like, what do I buy every single week?
No, your favorite thing.
They're gluten-free brownie mix.
Oh, are you gluten-free?
No.
Oh, they're just really good brownies.
They're just really... I'm not gluten-free. I will try my hardest to eat gluten that is sourced from Europe over the United States.
Okay. Yeah, honestly, if we could get most of our food from Europe, it sounds like it would be a huge win for all of us and our health would really... And finally, names that you considered for your daughter in utero that you did not choose.
Artem vetoed all of them.
I know. The one I remember most is Jupiter.
He was like, what is this, like, ingredient list? I had pepper on there. I had...
basil? Did basil make up?
Basil. Yeah. Lavender was not. They were all two syllables. Aura. Aura was on there. Yeah, Stella.
Oh, Stella and Luna. It's giving Northwest.
I know.
Stella and Luna.
Yeah.
It would have been like silly at first, but then we would have been like, hey, it kind of works though.
They could have been a clothing brand.
Oh, they could have. If they liked each other a lot.
I think these two names could as well with a nickname.
Yes. Oh, 1,000%. You're right. That's a good call. It would look good on a t-shirt. Well, I know that you need to pick up your daughter from dance practice. Maybe. We'll find out through the Russian translating app.
We'll see.
But I really appreciate your time. Thank you for hanging out with me. Always a delight.
Bye.